Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli. Today, forget the hard news. We're heading down the shallow end to find out who's smoked what, who's wearing what, and who's had what pumped from their enormous bulging whatever.
Cricket's most explosive expose.
And who is your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer? Is that our show?
It sure is. Prepare for the rubber duck invasion.
The top-selling DVDs of 2007. The votes are in, but it's not over yet. We can still get Meatballs 4 into the top 10.
Stolen wheelie bin found in Bulgaria.
When is a police car not a police car?
Channel 7 given a horrible choice.
And Acting's Jane Allsop is our co-host in the second hour. We'll find out if she's got any meat pie-style skeletons in the closet.
Who's pretending to be a German polar bear?
And will Ed Cavalli do any of these stories today? I think he mentioned most of them yesterday. It's all coming up on Get This, where all staff are subjected to a rigorous physical.
The cupping procedure reveals all, including texture, smell, and, of course, taste.
It certainly doesn't. Have we got Bon Jovi first up today, Mr. Marsler?
Yeah, you know it, Tone.
Is Marty Sheargold in the building?
I should be able to track him down. He might be by the vending machine.
He's a former Flashpot specialist. Let's see if he can go to work on this one. Here at Get This of Triple M. And you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name. Bon Jovi with Triple M's Marty Sheargold on the Flashpots, former pyrotechnics expert for Bon Jovi and indeed Van Halen back in the 1980s. Good to see him back on the horse.
Absolutely.
Well done all. Welcome to Get This around the nation, everybody, with myself, Tony Martin.
He would have a female at every truck stop.
Oh, okay. We've got Ed Cavalli.
I used to find girls in the truck all the time, answering the phone. If I found where the truck was, there was girls always in the truck.
Yeah.
Wow. And, of course, pushing buttons, Richard Marsland.
He left me with a $6,500 phone bill. I gave him what was left of my Christmas money. I hadn't finished Christmas shopping. He was meant to pay it back to me Christmas Eve. Wow. No go.
We're a bunch of cads, a bunch of bounders.
Yeah.
Frankly, I wouldn't listen to us.
So all three of us were involved with that woman, were we, Richard?
Girls in the truck. How do you get girls to get in your truck?
I know, it's amazing.
Hey, that sounds like some gossip. You know, we've been, hitting the hard stories at the top of the show lately. You want to go down the shallow end of the pool, guys?
Absolutely.
And consult
those industry sources, onlookers, observers, associates, friends and a pal. Those well-placed insiders and most fellow diners could not help but notice the smell. Those in attendance were startled to witness the fast-growing stain in his pants.
But that's just the way Mr. Hasselhoff likes to do business when he's visiting France.
Oh, there it is, our favourite all-time new weekly story.
Absolutely.
Baywatch star pisses self at airport.
And then has the good sense to chuck a huge leg spread while he's getting driven past the cameras on a people mover. Thanks, David.
Oh, they've never topped that one.
No.
The new weekly are having a red hot go this week, though.
How are they going?
Well, Britney is on the front pages again. Mm. Britney Spears has apologised for having attacked a reporter's car with an umbrella back in February, shortly after she shaved her head, claiming she was preparing a character for a film role.
Mm.
That's what she was doing when she was laying into. Mm. She was at work. That was at the office then, laying into that car.
They're remaking Mary Poppins with Russell Crowe's character from Romper Stomper. And I think Britney's first up for the lead.
No, I've got the name of the film here. It's called The Britney Spears Story. That's
shocking.
What it's going to be. Mm. Britney plays a shaven-headed nutbag who hasn't had a hit for 3 years and is reduced to pimping photographs of her oddly repellent nether regions to PerezHilton.com.
Whoa.
It's going to be fantastic.
Ouch. So scathing, Tony.
How's that Perez Hilton? I know you're a big fan of him.
I hate that Perez Hilton.
Is he the world's most hateable man?
He's going to go close.
No, Peter Reith is retired now, so cross that off the list.
Reithy.
Yeah. I mean, how's he become famous? He's become famous for just stealing other people's photographs and then just scrawling stuff over
it. Put him on his website and going like, oh. Like that's pretty much his catchphrase.
He looks gay.
Oh, my God. I got him. Guys, I've got him. I like to think that Perez Hilton has a team of like 35 writers. Yeah. Who wrote this? Who wrote ooh? All right, who wrote this? You're fired. It's oh. You know that. You know that.
What about Brad Pitt? Look at this. Brad's surgery shock. Have a look at this photograph. There's a photograph of Brad Pitt recently, May 2007.
That's recent.
Looking very handsome.
Oh, he's handsome, all right.
Then here he is way back in January 2006.
I don't even remember those days.
He looks like me. He's had a lot of work done.
No, he's just, this was back in the days when he was standing in worse lighting.
Oh, that was.
That's what it is, because that's the only difference I could see between those two photos.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless that's a photo from this film he's making called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Have you heard about this?
Is this the one where the man lives his life backwards?
Yeah, so he starts as an old man and then reverts to a baby over the course of the movie. So Brad is in various stages of old age makeup.
Yeah.
And I see the paparazzi keep copying him on the set and going, oh, look, Brad Pitt's looking old. Tell you what, how old was that Heath Ledger looking in Brokeback Mountain? Did you notice that?
Oh, so old. With the Play-Doh on the face.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some good aging.
What a
makeup.
Job.
Remember Dustin Hoffman in Little Big Man? How old was he looking?
Now, I don't remember.
It was at the video shop.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Little Big Man's great. It's a very funny movie.
Really?
And Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. There's some good aging makeup.
Oh,
he was
so old.
Mm. Yeah, he's so old towards the end.
Needs some Botox.
Needs some percussion.
Right. How about your new Nicole Richie?
Oh, what's she done
now? Well, she's preggers.
Yeah.
Right? And I said this, I announced this to my flatmates who briefly looked up from the Foxtel. And in enough time, one of my flatmates said to me, what? And Nicole Richie's pregnant. What? Turn it off. Nicole Richie is pregnant. Nicole Richie's pregnant. I mean, she's had sex, doesn't it? Probably. Imagine having sex with Nicole Richie. It'd be like making love to a balloon full of toothpicks. I said, put that Foxtel back on, you mean individual.
Very true,
Get
though.
Get back to your Taggart, right? And be a bit nicer.
You're watching Taggart around at your place.
Of course we are.
What about this new go, which is photographing celebrities with their eyes shut? See, this is the thing.
That's the
one where you want them to look stoned.
Yeah.
You just get them when they're blinking.
Yeah, that'll get them.
Anyone looks stoned if you photograph them mid-blink.
Mm.
The latest one is to get two celebrities standing next to each other. If one of them has got their eyes shut, you can try this at home. It looks like...
Sleepwalking.
Staring at someone's tits.
Oh, right.
Here's Simon Cowell. From your American Idol, photographed with his eyes shut next to various celebrities. Look at that one down the bottom there, bottom right hand.
Yeah, he's asleep.
He's just got his eyes shut.
He's asleep.
Oh, so all night. He spends 8 hours ogling tits, does he?
Now, see, this is... The funny thing is that they've got, like, all right, Terry Seymour. She's a presenter of some sort. She's quite the nork. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
And then the other person that apparently he's desperate to cop a look at is Sharon Osbourne. Mmm. Haven't we all wanted to down-blouse her?
Good morning.
In our weaker moments.
There's one of which is just going, it's going way over the top, which is Ashton Kutcher looking at his stepdaughter, who's Rumour Willis, who apparently is getting a bit chesty LaRue.
Really?
And but like he's just carrying on a conversation, but in the caption they're
there's
alleging...
Jawler.
Yeah, like a Woody Sun Yee thing going on.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now, how about your Famous magazine?
Talking to her.
Yeah, see, that doesn't seem like it's for real, right?
Right.
And Famous magazine's got the stats to prove it, what's real and what's not.
Oh,
it says
really?
63% of Famous readers do not believe that Nicole and Joel, her boyfriend from Good Charlotte, who are coming up shortly, no doubt, are a perfect match. It goes on to say that 80% of Famous readers believe that the federal election will be won by either John Howard or Dean Geyer, and 100% of Famous readers believe, like, Grey's Anatomy is better than Ugly Betty because the doctors are so cuter.
There is so much down the shallow end today.
So much.
We've got to have some music and get back into it. Here, get this. Oh, there he is, that troublesome Daniel Johns and Silverchair, Reflections of a Sound, here at Get This on Triple M, where we have been receiving a lot of complaints about yesterday's show, where Ed Cavalier was just throwing in rude words, apparently, for no reason.
I think 18 months is not long enough for him. I think at least 5 to 10 years, hard labour, in a desert, and with a chastity belt or something.
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessary.
Chastity belt, it's way overdue.
Explain yourself, Ed. What were you up to?
Well, no, look, George McEncroe from the Brisbane Cage, a good friend of the program, you know, speaks in specs and the like, a respected broadcaster.
Sure.
She challenged me to get a couple of terms into yesterday's program, and I did.
Yeah.
And the prize was $100 cold hard cash.
Let's not repeat or explain them.
No, let's not. Definitely not. There was one she asked for, which I refused to do because I've got standards, moral standards.
Felching was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Adeline.
Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So I said, no, thanks. I don't want the money. You can pay me in food.
$100 worth of food?
Yep.
What does that come to?
Bush Foods, Dick Smith's Bush Foods, all I can eat. Few bananas and a rack of lamb.
So if you do hear a rude word totally out of context on the show, don't worry, it's not gratuitous. It's for a good cause. It's just Ed trying to get food.
Yeah.
Because you know how short of food he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We'll utter smut for food.
Let's get back to the show business talk. Now, I see everyone is having a dip at Daniel Johns, Peter Garrett.
I know, what a shock.
Let me get this right.
Yeah.
A rock star may have smoked a jazz cigarette. That's big news, is it?
No, but no, I think the big news is that he did it with two other rock stars. That's the big shock. There's the big shock right there.
Okay, that's what's pushed it onto page three. Wow, that's a bombshell, is it?
Massive.
Okay. I mean, you've got MPs in Parliament, three or four I could name, who look to me to be entirely fueled by port.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Who can barely get out of their seats because of their enormous bulging guts. That rather lithe and fit-looking Mr. Garrett may have smoked a jazz cigarette.
He may have.
Wow.
Can't trust him.
Put him away.
I was going to vote for Labor. Not anymore.
Send him up the river.
That's the end of that. No way. No way.
Okay, well, let's get back to the shallow end.
Shallow end. Now, listen to this. Jess and Jake get it on. Apparently, Jake Gyllenhaal has hooked up with Jessica Simpson in a rebound relationship, which I know you're not a fan of at all, Tony. But pals say that their rebound relationship won't make it past the physical stage.
Why is that?
Fantastic. I imagine if you hooked up with Jessica Simpson, it's pretty much the physical stage I'm after, Rich.
So that's a bit of a carrot, is it?
Yeah.
Fine, we'll stop at the physical stage.
All right, all right.
Yeah, I think I can cope with that.
Yeah. It's going to be a stretch, but jeez.
I'll save the Mensa gear for Lindsay Lohan.
You might miss out on some of the scintillating repartee like the chicken of the sea tuna.
Yeah.
And some of the other bits of gold from that TV show.
What about Liz Hurley? Have you seen this business? Fans who logged on to Elizabeth Hurley's website and saw a cute little girl wearing a cute bikini and big white sunglasses were left stunned when they realised the girl they were looking at was really Liz's son, Damien.
Oh, no.
She's put her son in a bikini on her own website to advertise to try and shift some swimwear. Liz suggested Damien pose in the bikini, explains a source. Other people were uncomfortable with it, but she insisted. How's that? Even online sex pests are going, oh, that's just wrong.
Even Ashton Kutcher wouldn't be looking at that cleavage accidentally while that having a conversation.
You know, if
Because my mum used to dress me and my sister up in sailor's outfits.
Yeah, we got the little Lord Fauntleroy gear.
Yeah.
That led to, you know, head first down the toilet. But would your mum have made you basically dress in drag and then present yourself to the entire world?
No, I don't think so.
That wouldn't have any ramifications in the schoolyard.
No, not at all.
Oh, that 21st speech is writing itself.
Beating him up at school. And this is for extreme measures. While we're there. Long list to get to. What have you got over there, Mr. Marsden, show business-wise?
Did you happen to watch the Elton John interview? I find Elton John fascinating. Like, so many years in showbiz.
Hmm.
And always a great storyteller, lots of celebrity friends.
Mm. Kidding me?
He's pretty much the Zelig, isn't he, of showbiz?
He knows how to dress. Didn't I see him in a Donald Duck costume recently?
That was, I think that was from the 70s.
Hurley put him in it. It was Hurley's idea. Go as Donald.
What?
All right. Whatever.
But he gave an interview last night with Denton on Enough Rope.
And
the big revelation of that interview was that he found at one stage his life was so chaotic and he was so wrapped up in the showbiz world because he's always had staff around him that he actually could never operate a washing machine. He didn't know how to actually look after himself to the point where he could load the washing in.
Yeah, he couldn't get the Donald Duck costume in.
That's right.
The front loader.
Don't you hate it when you pull out your hair and it's shrunk? I hate that. The glasses have stretched. I've got to do it with hot and cold. Keep on getting confused.
It's time for a song, surely.
No, let's not.
No, no.
Well,
it's got to be something better.
We've got some more. Look, there's so much down the shallow end.
Yeah, but yeah.
We're not going to close this off yet. And don't worry, sports fans.
Yeah.
What? Give it some sizzle, eh?
Okie dokie. I have in my hand a copy of Tim Zura, The Gloves Are Off. Now for the facts. Cricket's most explosive expose.
Yes, coming soon on Get This.
Hmm.
Ah, be good, Johnny. Thank you very much, Men at Work, here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. Huge pulling.
It's pulled us down the shallow end today, hasn't it?
It certainly has. There's a lot more down here at the shallow end. You want to get some more?
Yeah.
Show business gossip. Paris Hilton, has she been mentioned on this show recently?
No.
We've
not since she was last in prison.
We've got, well, the thing is she's out of prison now, and the New Weekly are pointing out when she was released, the heiress told the world she was a different person. But on a recent Hawaiian holiday, she looked like the same spoiled socialite. Remember she said she was going to devote herself to charity work.
Yes.
Becoming a role model, raising awareness of great causes.
Awareness.
Here's a picture of her still going about her usual gear but in disguise.
Okay.
See, she's got a dark wig, hat and sunglasses. But there's no mistaking that haughty, disinterested pout and obnoxious, unjustified sense of entitlement.
There it is.
That a mile
there
away.
It is.
Check it out.
Yep.
And what is she going to do? What are her plans? Has she announced her plans? Charity work? Anything yet?
No, she said some work. She wanted to work with some of the people she went to prison with.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forget some of the other charities.
Mm. She didn't seem very interested in it as she was saying it.
No. Mm.
Apparently, she's working on free apricot facial scrubs for the homeless. No African child to go without at least 1 hour per year on a sunbed. That's a plan.
Nice. That's
something
nice.
She's working towards.
Nice. They need that.
Eritrean crack babies to receive signed photographs of Paris Hilton.
Selfless. Selfless.
Signed by a publicist, obviously. There's only so much one person can give.
Absolutely right. There's only so many hours in the day.
Any other show business news, Mr. Marsden?
From Paris Hilton to Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
And J-Lo. Her husband. Yeah, Mark Anthony. Apparently, on their wedding day, they made a vow to each other in 2004 to avoid working at the same time.
Good idea.
So they could see plenty of each other.
Right.
It's actually the same vow that Brittany and Kevin Federline made to each other when they got married, to avoid working, just to avoid working.
There you go. So, right.
just to keep
and they've stuck to that.
They've lived up to that. That's a good thing.
Brilliantly done.
Mark Anthony.
Mm. I don't know who he is either.
In every photo, he looks like he needs a sleep. Or he looks like he's been spending a bit of time with Daniel Johnson, Peter Garrett.
Oh, dear.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Here at the news desk. On Get This, the news desk, where we're informed by...
Those pals and insiders, amazed fellow diners, and yes, someone close to the star. Insist that a friend of an onlooker's pal had associates there in the bar. Allegedly someone, according to sources, soon startled observers and pals. But friends were not sure what the pals or sources all swore something took place, but none of that was verified by insiders or observers or the pals.
Oh, that's the trivial news out of the way.
What's happening in the world of sports, Ed Cavalier?
I can't tell you what's happening currently in the world of sports, yeah. But if it's early 80s to late 90s you're after, then I've got you covered.
Now, the other day we were talking about bringing back Sheffield Shield cricket, possibly to prime time on Channel 9. A lot of interest in that idea.
Absolutely,
you mentioned, who
right.
was that bloke you mentioned?
Tim Zura is
right,
his name.
Right.
Now, for those who don't know the Zura story, Rich, his own book, which I'm holding in my hand, claims that he is Australia's most talked about cricketer, which is true.
Yep.
Fair enough. And he was a former Western Australian wicketkeeper batsman.
That's right.
Who played 10 tests for Australia and a handful of one days for our fine country as well.
Mm.
Now, he was replaced in the Western Australian side by one Adam Gilchrist.
Mm.
Now,
here you go.
He turned out to be a bit of all right. Mm. Tim's quite sure that he shouldn't have been dropped for Gilchrist when he wrote this book 10 years ago.
What's the book called?
The Gloves Are Off, Now for the Facts.
How do you have a copy of that?
I found it for a dollar.
Wow.
Yeah, Rob Sitch and I were talking about it, and then the next day I saw it for a dollar in a Salvo. Actually, I saw it for a dollar in a Salvation Army op shop in Sydney. And I said, I'll have this, please. And I handed her a $2 coin, and she went, yep. I said, oh, it costs a dollar. And she went, no, two.
Ooh.
What? But it says a dollar. Mm-hmm. Never got my change.
Wow. See, this is the thing about having your own radio show. You can right injustices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to yourself.
No, it's just an extra dollar at an op shop.
But it's worth every penny.
They're upsizing you.
But I can't keep going on about Tim. And why don't we let the man speak for himself as we enter a new segment, Thus Spoketh Tim. Dino wandered deliriously back to the change room, and I knew he was crook as a dog. He was as white as Casper the Ghost and had lost a truckload of weight. Alcott organised for some boys to lift him into a bath of iced water to reduce his soaring temperature. I thought this brought him back to his old self when he bounced out of the tub and asked me to fetch him a can of Fanta, which he drank. That was the last thing Dino remembered. To this day, he doesn't remember a thing until well into the night when he awoke to the familiar sights of Alcott, Alan Border and team coach Bob Simpson sitting on the foot of his bed watching Rocky III. And thus spoke Timothy Zura.
The Sheffield Shield clapping.
Beautiful. Wow. $2. Are we going to have more readings from that?
We've got another one ready for our phone topic.
Our phone topic today. What's it going to be?
Oh, man.
What's it going to be?
Oh, man. I'm too excited.
You can't even say.
Name your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer.
It's that good. Here, get this.
Get this.
We close it down, idiots.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Thanks to the increased pulling power of the Nissan Navara, what a 4x4. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. This has never happened before. We've put in a request to play a song on the show.
No.
And it's been approved.
I'm really happy.
Come back.
We submitted it to the Bear, who's a bit of a power broker.
He's cuddly.
He was the original panel operator before he was white-handed by Richard Marsland.
Yep.
And he said yes. And we thought it was a joke.
No.
We go, no, this has got to be a stir, a wind-up, surely. Yeah,
exactly right.
How many songs have we requested? What have you asked for?
Well, I've got three words for the music department round here. Men without hats.
Safety dance.
What have they got to do?
Yeah.
What have they got to do?
I tried to get him to play the follow-up. I wish that I was Scotland and I'm walking through a forest in the rain or things in my life, not allowed. What have you asked for over the years?
A particular penchant for Australian bands of the 90s, Def Rhyme, Sanity, Caligula, their version of Tears of a Clown. Mantissa. Where's Mantissa?
Nothing.
Where have they gone?
Really?
Falling Joys.
My favourite Australian band at the moment are Root, and you can check out the Root sound at myspace.com/Root the Music. Check out their new song, I Wish I Was Tex Perkins. That's a corker. But there is a great new album out now called Write Your Adventures Down, a tribute to the Go-Betweens.
Ooh, good idea.
Attention Australian buying public, attention Brisbane listeners.
Mm.
This is a great album. People doing your Go-Betweens songs.
Because there was one a few years ago, wasn't there, with Flat Stanley and Frente. It was like a Go-Betweens tribute album.
I'm suggesting this one might be better. Dave McCormack's had a hand in putting this together. You've got a great version of Draining the Pool for You by Andrew Cox from the Foves.
Oh, nice.
Adele Pickvance, the last bass player for the Gobies, often works with our friend Dave Graney, possibly steals the album with her version of Finding You. But here on Triple M, check this out from the album Write Your Adventures Down, Don't be frightened, it's Dan Kelly with Head Full of Steam. That is Dan Kelly with Head Full of Steam. What is the relationship between Dan and Paul Kelly's nephew, is it, Dan?
Paul's? I think there is a relation.
You should know that one.
It's good stock. It's good musical stock, whatever it is. It
certainly is. That is from Write Your Adventures Down, a tribute to the Go-Betweens' fine new album in the shops now, I'm assuming. Mm. Sounding like
also,
sounds like a real show here for a second.
Also, the Aqua back catalogue is still available, so get your hands on that as well.
Fully remastered. There is a new podcast up on the grid. Podcast.
Oh, yeah, what are we up to?
101.
No songs with 101 in it, Rich?
Mm. No, I couldn't find any. Unfortunately, 100 we just used all our resources on.
Oh, a lot of people. I think the government have been listening to our podcast.
Well, yes, of course. And you know what? We listen. Tony, I mean, if you're trying to you know, throw a humble pie in front of me and say, you know, Joe, swallow this, I'll say I'll plead guilty. I'm listening, the government's listening. You know what's worse is that the government stops listening. Oh. And we are listening.
Yeah, he just loves... I never said anything...
He wants a pie.
I never mentioned a pie.
No.
Joe Hockey, he'll just bring up pie in any context. Yeah, just give me a pie, okay? We didn't mention pie.
Shush, I got me a bib on. Give us a pie.
Okay, let's keep it mellow.
Oh, man.
In case Daniel Johns is listening.
Yep.
As we climb Talkback Mountain. I didn't mention what's in podcast 101.
Yeah.
It's far from comedy 101, I'm suggesting.
What do we got?
Man with a box of killer pelicans.
Oh, dear.
Remember that?
Uncut.
Ooh.
Geraldine Hickey is in there. Pete Smith is in there.
Pete Smith.
Along with his nude work and, of course, a visit to the International High Rollers Room. It's all free. It's all available at iTunes.
And triplem.com.au.
Yes, go there. Because are you having iTunes trouble at the moment, Mr. Mark?
Yeah, for some reason I'm only getting 7 seconds of each podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to go back. So I'm hearing, you know, it's a great 7 seconds.
Yeah.
But I'm used to about 40 minutes. So at the moment I've got some iTunes trouble. So I just got to...
Is your computer just backed up with porn? Is there something that's...
There's probably a couple of issues there. I mean, if anyone can call and help me out with how to get more of the Get This podcast, because at the moment I'm getting 7 seconds and then it's cutting off.
I don't understand. I hear you, Rich, okay?
Yeah.
I hear you, bro.
So if there are any children listening who can call up and help with your preferences, give Richard Marsden a call. But let's get to the topic du jour. It's been mentioned already. The phones are already exploding. What is it?
Who's your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer?
Wow, I don't have one for this.
Well, don't you just normally go to your normal...
I don't think Ewan Chatfield ever played Sheffield Shield. He was a dazzling cricketer, I'm led to believe. You know, I am starting to get a bit of affection for Mr. Zura. Reading from The Gloves Are Off was riveting stuff. Do you want to give us another one of those?
I'd love to give you some more Zura.
Yeah?
As we step inside, thus spake Zura. What a load of crap. I knew Sharma was out by a country mile. So did Matthews, and I was convinced Sharma knew the same. I was disgusted and threw the ball to the ground in anger. I mumbled a few unpleasantries behind my breath. That's right, behind. And I told him I thought he was a prick for not walking. The Tilwa told Sharma to get on with the game, and when he took guard again, he cried back to the umpire. Umpire, umpire, excuse me. This man with gloves called me dirty words again. Going to hit him over the head with my bat. I cracked up laughing. Turned my bum towards him and pointed at it, saying, "No, Gundu, it's more your style to try and shove it up my ass." Gundu in India means pufta. And thus spake Zura.
That is word for word.
I didn't know he played Yoda.
And if people are trying to get hold of this, where'd you find it again? Op shops.
Salvation Army stores.
That's the place to start looking.
$2.
Next to a copy of Pants, the Darren Mullane story. Okay, favourites. I'm going to go with you and Chatfield.
Oh,
that's the cricketer I know.
What a surprise.
What about, are you going for Zura? Plumping for Zura, Ed Cavalier?
Plumping for Zura. Plumping for Mark Divinuto, Tasmania's finest. I'm plumping for Richard Cheekwee, the man who played one one-day international for Australia and is in Bing Lee, Brett Lee's band, Six and Out. My friend John, my ex-flatmate John, this is his favourite topic of conversation ever. He said, "Please, please, just mention Rog McCurdy and Bruce Laird for me." I said, "Fine." He said, "How about Dirk Tasler?" I said, "Dirk's mine." Hands off Dirk, he's all mine. How about Wade Seckham?
Yep.
How do you feel about him, Tone?
Did John also request that we play some of his Nick Lachey covers? Because they're still in the computer here at Triple M. I don't know if they're, maybe not now.
No. Yeah.
I think we get that bloke in.
I'd love to have another crack.
What about some live Lachey?
Oh, he'd love that.
All right. We might do that.
How about Danny Buckingham? Hey? The tugger from Tasmania. These how about Chuck Fleetwood Smith? How do you feel about his work?
None of these are made up.
Nope.
All right.
Is about you, Rich?
Well, I'm a Peter Sleep man.
A big sleep man.
From way back in the 80s. In fact, I attended a coaching clinic with Hooksy, as a matter of fact, and Peter Sleep, and I managed to crack a six off him. How's that? In the nets.
You cracked a six off Sleep?
I know. At the age
what
of,
happened? One pitched outside off, didn't turn a bit?
I just, away we went, and tonked it over the top.
Okay, throw me a rope here, Rich. Yep. If Peter Sleep was an actor at the video shop, who would he be?
An actor at the video
shop. Stephen Baldwin. John Philip Law.
Right. He's more down your Bud Cort end of the...
Oh, Bud Cort.
Yeah, he makes cameo appearances every now and again. He's got his own cricket bat, or he had his own cricket bat.
Sort of an M. Emmett Walsh type.
Grey Nichols double scooper. Also, I'd go with Bill Ponsford.
Oh, Bill Ponsford. Hey, leave some for the listeners, please.
Well, what about Sean Klingeleffer from Tasmania? He's still playing. He's doing a fine job.
Rolling the arm over. Now, this is the territory we're talking about.
Okay. Now, you haven't used all the good ones, have you?
Oh, no. We've only Wade Seckham's the tip of the iceberg.
All right.
Queensland's second best glove man for years. Ooh. He's the Lou Diamond Phillips of cricket.
I'd really love to hear a Luke Butterworth right about now.
Call us with your all-time favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer, 133353. Stupid girl, that's garbage here at Get This on Triple M. I got in this morning, Richard and Ed were giggling like babies. As they had decided that today our topic for Talkback Mountain would be who's your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer. I don't know what they're talking about. Let's get straight to the callers. There's so many of them.
Hello there, caller. Who's that?
It's Michael.
Michael, how are you? Michael.
Hey, Michael, you there?
Michael.
Hello.
Hey, bro, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hit me with it. Who's your favourite?
Nick Jewell.
Nick Jewell. Now, what do we need to know about the Nick Jewell story?
He's an opener for Victoria.
And he?
Has never made a duck.
Never made a duck.
Oh, which for those who aren't down with cricketing terms, is zero.
Brilliant.
Oh, okay.
So even if he just gets a shifty leg by, the claims came off the bat, he'll take that.
Is he around the Brian Tabor era, the Rick McCosker sort of school?
He's playing now.
Oh, okay.
Now
he's current.
Clearly
thank
not.
You, Michael.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy. G'day, g'day, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, boys.
Who's your favourite?
Aiden Blizzard.
Aiden Blizzard.
These are great names. Now, I don't know who they are, but they're great names.
Now, is he recent, old Mr. Blizzard?
Yeah, I think actually on a technicality, he probably hasn't played Sheffield Shield because that's not around anymore.
No, it's called Pura Cup now, but we're going into the annual. Now, what do you like most about the Blizzard game?
Well, obviously, it offers so many opportunities for brilliant punning.
Like?
I don't know, Blizzard hits up Storm.
Brilliant.
Blizzard hit century, Western Australia snowed under, stuff like that.
Blizzard left out in the cold.
Exactly, just blatant cheap shot.
Did he ever face a Carl Rackerman or a Tim May on a lazy Saturday afternoon? No.
Thank you, Andrew. Lovely to talk to you.
It's got a Sheffield Shield response.
Deb, how are you?
Hi, how you going, guys?
Excellent. Who's your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer?
Well, a long, long time ago, I used to watch James Brayshaw.
James
Brayshaw.
Leave from, it the, from the Melbourne Cage and from the AFL Footy Show.
Yes.
Now, was he a bit of all right, the old Brayshaw, wasn't he?
He was in his young. Oh, he's not doing too badly now. But, yes, I used to actually go out to the MCG and watch them. And, yes, he was a good player.
Can I ask, have you seen the footage of him in the Borat Mankini?
Yes, unfortunately.
Maybe if the Sheffield Shield was to come back on primetime, if everyone was in the Mankini.
Played in the Mankini.
Not a lot of room for sponsorship, obviously.
Well, no, not much. Doesn't leave much to the imagination. No. And, he'd have problems with his protector too.
Absolutely right, Deb. Thank
but
you.
The other good thing, I've seen Craig Bradley, the captain of Carlton, former captain, and he played Sheffield Shield cricket for Victoria.
Fantastic.
Made a duck.
Bang.
Thank you, Deb. Hello, Damien. How are you?
Yeah, look, excellent. Long time, first time.
Thank you. Who are we talking? Who's your favourite?
Got a couple. My favourite would have to be Scott Hookey, a ex-New South Welshman who moved down to the Apple Isle to have a crack.
And how'd he go?
Look, made a huge 100 against the New South Welshman on his debut game in the ING format.
Bang.
Which is an old Mercantile Mutual Cup, I believe.
Yeah.
He was better known, Scott Hookey, in the inner circle as being a little bit of a robber.
Really?
Yeah, he did a bit of an inside job on a local sports contributor, apparently.
And, allegedly.
I was an underage cricketer at the time and bought a bat off him quite cheaply.
Quite cheaply.
Thank you, Damien. Libelous and historic. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Who's your favourite?
David Horn.
Oh, a New South Welshman?
Yep.
Now, what was his story?
He bowled Chinaman.
Yes.
Basically, left arm leg spin, which meant basically it was an off spinner.
Yeah, and left. Michael Bevan applies the same trade these days, does he not?
Yeah, very effectively. So the pitch was taking spin, unplayable. 95% of the time, he was getting tonked.
Brilliant.
And of course, being named Horn, he had a nickname of Cracker.
Thank you, Peter.
I got on the piss once with Scott Hook. He was a bit of a dickhead.
Well,
allegedly.
Thank you, Peter.
Busy stuff.
Thank you, Peter. Hi, Clinton, how are you?
Oh, good, boys. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be happier. Talk us through it. Who's your favourite?
Oh, mate, definitely my favourite, not only because of his name, but because of his almost stylish handlebar moustache, was Julian Wiener.
Julian Wiener. Who did he play his trade for?
Julian played for Victoria. He was in the late 70s, early 80s, and he was playing in the same side that also had Graham Yallop and Max Walker. So it was a moustache as akimbo.
Heavy on the tash. Thank you, Clinton. Lovely to talk to you. No, Tony, we're going to keep going. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, hit me with it, bro. Who's your favourite?
Dutchie Holland.
He's a great name.
He made his debut at about 75 years old.
He had a game for Australia, didn't he?
He managed a spin bowl without the use of blonde tips or a mobile phone.
Those were the days.
And he had a game for Australia, did he not?
It did, and it wasn't even a veterans event.
We've got time for one more.
Okay. Andrew.
Hang on. I reckon we know that one.
Justin, are you there?
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good. Who are you going for?
Oh, I'm going for Rodney Hogg, mate. He didn't get a crack until all the good players went and played World Series, mate.
Hogg was just waiting. He was waiting for the carrot to be dangled in front of the good blokes before he could step up, wasn't he?
That's the one, mate, yeah.
Yeah, lovely work.
Well, we're going to have to do, not since prelude to a fart, have we received this many calls, Ed.
Can I say thank you to everyone that called? I am deeply sorry to those we didn't get to.
We'll get
many
to
many people
all.
Calling in saying Jamie Cox, the best man to never play for Australia.
Yes. I have come to a decision during this set. From now on, get this, if ever we do a sketch where there's a doctor or a policeman or a politician we need a name for, it's got to be a Sheffield Shield cricketer.
Yeah.
What about that for an idea?
Dr. Callum Ferguson.
Because I'm sick of trying to work Jeff Hugel in the sketches.
Senator Carl Rackerman.
That's the new rule on the show.
Thank you, everyone.
I need a name for a policeman, Ed. Constable.
Dutchie Holland.
There you go. That's how it works. From now on, get this. That's sports out of the way.
Oh, so good.
What a lot of great callers. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Acting's Jane Allsop.
Get this.
Totally unsuitable for young children.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't because I want to.
Oh, it's the second hour.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna...
I'll get this on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. A round of applause for Jane Allsop, if you would, Mr. Marsden. Cue up a smaller Sheffield Shield-style round of applause, because who have you brought in with you today, Jane?
Wait a second.
Brought in Indy.
Oh, your son.
Yes.
How old is he?
He is nearly coming up to 14 months.
Yeah, we've talked about him on the show, haven't we?
We have indeed.
Right, okay. I see. Is that a cigar he's got in his hand?
It is a cigar, yeah. And his favourite book at the moment is Auschwitz.
Yeah, now we should explain that. That sounds like a very poor joke that we would come up with. You're saying your child reaches for the bookshelf.
Yep, and the favourite book at the moment is Auschwitz, the Nazis and the Final Solution.
Okay, firstly, what's it doing on your shelf?
Well, you know, it's just a little more interesting than Spot the Dog and,
okay,
you know.
It's got a bit of a Richard Scarry style colourful cover. We should point out the cigar is safely contained within a metal container. This is because I think you must have heard us talking about, what was our deal, Ed? We would have Prime Minister John Howard on our show. Yeah,
if he was dressed as a baby.
In a little bonnet.
Yeah, in a bonnet.
In a pram, smoking a cigar like in Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Any reaction yet, Nikki?
Any luck?
Guess what? This is John Howard.
Oh, my God. Very progressive.
Okay, well, I don't know if you heard the last hour, we were talking cricket, Sheffield Shield cricket. Do you know anything about that?
Very little.
Didn't we
hear I heard some interesting names, though.
Great names. Which was your favourite, Ed?
Wait, second.
Right. I liked Blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it Blizzard? I thought that was nice.
Scott Hookey.
Okay, Constable Wade Seckham. In every sketch with a policeman from now on, that bloke's going to appear. If you were as confused as I am, don't worry. We're getting back into nerd country this hour. They've published a list of the top-selling DVDs of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the year's not over.
Not by a long shot.
We can still change that list.
Absolutely.
If we all get to work on it. Let's do that in this hour of Get This. That's David Bowie. Get This is the name of the showy. The name of the showy, it's David Bowie. I'm very confused. It's the second hour. I've just tripped over a child on my way to my chair. Please welcome Jane Allsop and Offspring.
And Offspring.
That's Indiana.
Yes.
We talked about this before last time you were in, naming your child after a film character.
Mm.
Has it had any ramifications backfired on you yet?
Not yet. There's a little bit of a... There's a few people who have thought he's a girl.
It sounds like a stripper, really, doesn't it?
I don't know that... My defence is that, hey, Indiana Jones wasn't a girl, so,
No, fair enough. Don't you know someone called Indiana Jones, Mr. Marsland?
Yeah, I know someone who went out with someone called Indiana Jones. That was his actual name.
That would have been exciting.
His last name around in a cowboy hat and all?
No, he didn't. I was talking to his brother, Alan Quatermain, who was a bit of a cheap knockoff of Indiana. But, his parents were Joneses and they were massive fans and just sort of...
Why not?
But Indiana isn't his original name Henry and then he's named after the family dog. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't remember. They're shooting a new one at the moment, a new Indiana Jones. Ed, you've seen the photographs from the set. What have you observed?
It looks like Shia LaBeouf from Transformers. He's got his granddad on a motorcycle.
That's right.
He's taking him down the shops.
Shia LaBeouf is playing Indiana Jones' son. There's a great shot of him driving a moped. And clinging to him is Jim from EastEnders.
Or Grandpa Simpson.
Indiana Jones. Oh, God, blimey, where are those bleeding Nazis? Oh, they're not continuing with all that lost art carry on, are they? Oh, God, blimey. That's who they should have got to play him.
Perfect.
Jim from EastEnders. Oh, apples and pears.
You didn't consider the name Short Round for your firstborn?
No. My agent's surname is Man, and the middle child, the middle name she chose for a child is Spider.
Hang on a sec. We must have the same agent, did
Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful moment. Wow. As two co-hosts realise they have the same management. There you go.
Spider-Man.
So this is who you call if you want to book, obviously, Jane Allsop to play, Nolan Brown in The King.
Something good.
Or someone to be force their genitalia into a...
All right, that's enough.
A meat mincer. It's a new film called Meat Pie.
Okay.
Hey, there was an Australian film years ago, a very good friend of ours, Michael Hirsch, who's one of the kingpins down at Working Dog, wonderful producer of Thank God You're Here, amongst other things. He worked on some great films, which he doesn't like to admit. Sky Pirates. Australian film.
I've never seen it.
John Hargreaves, made in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. It could be said, if you were really cynical, that it's kind of a copy of Raiders of the Lost Ark, kind of a copy of Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Everyone involved denied that.
Okay.
I just discovered on the internet when it came out in Germany, it was called Dakota Harris.
Well,
that's not a giveaway, is it? I think the music goes like this. Dun 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 dun. One note change.
That's all you need.
We love it when we get the actors in, Jane, because surely, we've all of our ugly credits are out on the table. Is your son speaking? Is he angling for a midnight to dawn shift at the moment?
He's requesting Doughty.
He's got he wants to contribute to the Sheffield Chill conversation earlier.
Sorry? Yeah, no, we've done Wade Seckham. No, but thank you.
Thank you. We're moving on now.
Any bad roles coming across your desk at the moment?
Oh, look, plenty. Plenty of bad roles, very few good ones.
Oh, did you hear from Nolan Brown ever? Because you were great in The King.
No, I didn't actually. Was one of the few people who spoke out, sort of.
Hearing words.
Stop upstaging, mummy. It's not hard. No, I didn't actually hear from Nolan. She wasn't a huge supporter of the show. Mm. So, yeah, but.
Okay.
That's sort of where that ended.
Now, Tone, you were saying before that you, about kids, getting back onto the kiddie that we have in the studio. Yeah, what's the reason you don't want to have a kid, Tone?
Oh, there's plenty of reasons, hundreds of reasons.
The one you've just...
Biscuits in the video recorder would be one.
Yeah, and then the one you've just brought up?
Well, I'm here with a hot drink.
Yeah, and?
I don't want. I might spill it on a child.
Absolutely right. You don't want to have any kids because you're afraid of spilling things on them.
You know how clumsy I am. Listen, look, I've just mentioned hot drink. It's going off.
Tony watches Children of Men, a film where no children are born, for about 20 years as a fantasy.
I love Children of Men, to me, that is a great vision of the future. I know what that is.
Excuse me.
That is, you've gone too long without a song. We hear that a lot in here, Jane. Don't worry, there's one coming out right now. It's Pink. Leave Me Alone and Get This. It's Pink here and Get This on Triple M. Oh. Jane Allsop is our co-host. She's had to pop out with her young son, Indiana, for some sort of child trouble. What's going on?
Well, he's not a big Pink fan, you know what I mean?
We were just talking, you know, I'm worried that, you know, I know people who are deciding.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I actually know some people in the real world. I've met a couple. You know, I'm worried that my not having children talk on the show is starting to influence friends of mine.
Yeah.
And, I'm, you know, that might be bad.
Well, I think I would argue that it's had some influence on me.
Yeah, see, I don't want to ruin other people's lives.
You've got so many good DVDs.
Yeah, it's true. It's a big argument.
And they're always coming. They're always little boxes in Amazon arriving at work. Mm-hmm. And you're so happy, Tony.
And
it's
that's
like
money
a new baby
that would normally be going on tiny shoes that just get bigger and bigger every 3 weeks. Things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jane's back. How much money are you spending on tiny shoes?
Oh, about $1.50.
Oh,
yeah, $1.50. No, I'm not doing it.
He's
not
wearing plastic bags, I see, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm not wasting the money. If he's just going to grow out of them, what's the point?
Absolutely.
And during the song, Richard was saying that he might be thinking of having children in the future.
I mean, I have no desire now, but certainly, you know, I haven't yet. But when I see my nephews now and again, I get a bit male clucky. But maybe I can see it happening in maybe 6 or 7 years.
Mm. Yeah, and when you see
you
that,
could adopt a, you know, you could adopt a teenager or two and just cut out all the hard stuff.
Do some foster work.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Richard's crazy house of foster kids.
Do you actually have any idea about what a stay-at-home mother does at this point? I'm the only reason I'm asking is because my partner revealed the other day how little he knows of what I actually do when he rang up and he said, from work, and he rang up and goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just sitting here in some lacy lingerie.
Ooh.
He goes, oh, really? I said, no, you idiot. I'm sitting here in pyjamas covered in wheat bix.
And now we've talked about this bloke. This is the bloke from the Mitre 10 billboards.
It is indeed.
Did he hear our idea of getting all the hardware representatives from the ads into a giant cage match? Your husband, Chopper Reed, and Greg Fleet as the home hardware dog.
And the G Money Genie.
Yeah, we just thought we'd throw him.
A wild card.
Yeah.
Oh, the Flight Centre pilot as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was talking about.
He's more of your referee kind of feel.
He's got so much authority, hasn't he?
So much authority.
I have a lot of respect for the Flight Centre pilot.
Mm. Mm, so much.
Now, something we do on the show is we get a lot of emails about things we've talked about, and lately it's about all the British shows I keep mentioning that aren't being shown on the ABC. You'd think there would be no support. I sometimes feel like I'm just a crazy hermit at the top of a mountain shouting about the ABC. What are they showing this week? That already discredited documentary, The Great Global Warming Scandal or Swindle.
But this is for balance, isn't it?
Yeah, for balance.
So if you put on a doco that about global warming that's true, you then have to put on one that's
not true.
Completely
it's
made up.
Completely made up and has been discredited all around the world. This is because the ABC is now run by the Nazis at the Sydney Institute. Is that right?
Yeah,
understood. Okay.
Good work.
And anyway, people are starting to get behind me. Listen to this.
What do you got, Tone?
Richard Gregory says, can Tony please mention more British comedies on Ian? No one mentions things like Alan Partridge and Phoenix Nights.
Yes.
This is the sort of stuff that should be on the ABC, writes Kim. Why aren't you mentioning more Peep Show, great British comedy show?
That's a terrific show.
I haven't seen a lot of that. Alan Partridge gets a mention once again. Do you like the obscure British comedies?
I do. Mm. I do. And I love just generally obscure.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't want people to think, oh, these are just comedies for nerds. No. This is just stuff that Tony Martin would be into.
Yeah.
The average person wouldn't find any of this stuff funny.
Yeah.
So I've brought in a couple of clips from a show called The Armando Iannucci Shows, which I think has been rejected by the ABC. It's never been screened. Mm. Have you seen it, Richard?
Yeah, it's got a brilliant, I think it's episode one, the first sketch, The Paper House.
A giant house made entirely of paper.
Absolutely amazing. But he was like, it's an absolutely incredible show.
Just to prove that this
is all on your YouTube.
Yeah.
Look up Hello Hugh. Hugh is an old guy who shows up on the Armando Iannucci shows, and Armando Iannucci interviews him about what life was like in the old days.
Yeah.
Check this out.
So, Hugh, I suppose our whole lives are controlled by computers these days. What was it like then?
Oh, well, in those days, the internet was in black and white. It was only on for 3 hours a day. We used to get dressed up in our Sunday best to log on to it. We'd log on to letsbuy.com and order a gas mask and a pound of tripe. Then when we finished with the computer, we'd switch it off and we'd all stand up and sing the national anthem.
What about the entertainment? How did you amuse yourselves?
Well, we used to gather around the piano and sing Peter Andre songs. And while we were singing, we'd be showing off our pecs. My dad had a lovely six-pack. Cheeseburgers were a penny then.
What about courting? How did you go out with a lady?
Well, you couldn't just jump into bed with a lady back then. You'd go along to her house and you'd ask her parents if you could knock her up and get her on crack. If they said yes, you'd take her along to a junglist mash-up. It was called Jungle then. Not drum and bass, so it came later.
There you go. That's from the Armando Iannucci shows. Have you got my favourite one?
Yeah.
This is my favourite interview with Hugh. Check this out.
So, Hugh, how did you all amuse yourself in those days?
Well, we didn't have hundreds of television channels in those days. We just had to make our own entertainment from the basic Sky package.
Was there much entertainment?
Well, the music was different then. Mike Oldfield had just brought out Tubular Bells 4. He said he did it to get away from the whole Tubular Bells 3 thing. They'd been hanging over him like an albatross.
There you go. See, anyone can enjoy that.
That's good stuff.
That's just not Nerdsville.
Not Nerdsville.
But I guess we've got to play these ludicrous global warming documentaries to keep Jared Henderson and Janet Elbrechtson and Keith Windschuttle happy.
Absolutely right.
We could be having good comedy from overseas.
New.
Is it time for me to get off my sofa?
I think so.
I love it up here. It's a great sofa.
He's crying.
Okay, let's get back. He is. And he's unplugged something from the desk.
Good boy. Unplug the Daughtry. Good boy.
I think it's Daughtry.
Whatever.
Hey, let's get back onto safe ground. What is the DVD that most Australians have bought in 2007? Want to have a quick guess, Jane? What would it be? Dean Geyer, the singles?
Up the Jumper?
What's Up the Jumper?
Film I just made up.
We'll find out the real answer next.
Get this.
It's because of this program that I'm not in prison or dead today.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Ed's Get This around the nation on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. Acting's Jane Allsop is with us today. And
who just put on the wrong set of headphones, the one that Indy's been wearing.
Oh, yes. She's brought in her young son. How old exactly?
Coming up to 14 months.
And already programming an afternoon shift here at Triple M.
Right.
Already sat in on a couple
pretty
of
cute
blue sky sessions. What's he doing now? Tearing up the carpets. Somebody had to do it. Look, there's a list in the paper today of the top-selling DVDs of 2007 so far.
Hit me.
Number one, Happy Feet.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Of course. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Digital Penguin movie. You've got Casino Royale, Borat, The Devil Wears Prada.
The Devil Wears Prada. Keep that one for all time.
Night at the Museum. I refuse to see it because it didn't have the on the front. Dirty Dancing, 15th Anniversary Edition, Now You're Being Interesting list. Kenny at number 7. Oh, people love Kenny. Biggest Australian film of last year. Number 8, Step Up. Is that one of those stomp kind of movies?
Yeah, it's like you're on the wrong side of the track, man.
One of those dancing kind
exactly. of... Exactly. So you're going to have to dance your way into my heart. Can
I thought,
do.
I thought they already did the 15th Anniversary Dirty Dancing edition. But instead, Step Up is stepping into the area.
Yeah.
It's like Bring It On.
No.
Save
no,
the
no.
last dance for me.
Now you're talking.
That's more like it. Be careful. Yeah. Don't
Shall
cross.
We dance?
What about Shall the top-selling VHS tape? They still sell them,
they
Ed?
They still sell.
Tim Zura?
No.
The gloves are off?
No.
Eraserhead?
Wiggles, Woohoo, Wiggly Gremlins.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And they're investigating Peter Garrett, are they? Get down to that big red car. What's going on in there? Okay, we're saying what really should, because it's not over yet, you see. 2007, we're just past halfway. We can still wield some influence, listeners, and change this list. Mm. Get them digital penguins off the top there. Mm. What would you like to see up there? I'm going to go into bat for my own DVD, well, one I'm working on with the team from The Late Show, Barjas.
Yes.
I'd like to see that up there.
Tone, that'll make some waves.
Yeah, that's going to get into the top 500, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You only have to sell about two to get in the top 500, don't you?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll buy two myself. That's the case.
You might beat some aerobics titles.
What would you like to see on that list, Jane?
I'd like to see Extras.
Oh, with Ricky Gervais. Yeah.
Extras, Series 2. David, that one with David Bowie kills me. Kills me.
I still think you can't go past Patrick Stewart.
That is the best.
In the first series.
Yeah.
With
his
idea for a film.
Where he can see women's clothes falling off.
Right. See it all.
I've seen everything.
That was great. Ed, what would you like on the list?
Love Thy Neighbour Down Under.
Has that come out yet?
No, it's out on the internet on your Easy DVD. And one of our friends at Umbrella assures me that it's coming out on general release very, very soon.
God.
This is the story, Jane. You remember Love Thy Neighbour? Mm. Slightly racist sitcom from the 70s in England. It's a Down Under version where, get this, he moves to Blacktown. Oh, dear.
In Australia.
Oh, dear.
But who does he move in next to? Does he move in next to Aboriginal people?
No one can tell me.
Or does the bloke from England, by coincidence,
apparently it's something like that.
Okay,
apparently it's the dude. But I've ordered it, so it's coming, and then we'll tell you.
Well, you've ordered
it. It'll be gold, for sure.
The people at Umbrella, they turn on some fine DVDs. Have they done that? I hope I'm not getting this wrong. Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Have you had a look at that yet?
I haven't had a look at home.
Great. That is a great series. They've got Birdman from the 1960s, and they've reincarnated him as a attorney at law, defending other cartoon characters.
Fantastic.
Scooby and Shaggy get pulled over for a bit of Daniel John's work.
Oh, dear.
He has to defend them in court.
But pretty much Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network after, is it 9 o'clock or something in the evening?
Oh, even about 11 o'clock on a Friday, it used to be.
We're watching Lionel Richie concerts at my house by that time.
Adult cartoons.
What would you like to see on the list?
I had a thing the other day where I borrowed a DVD from the shop, and it's really annoying because nowadays if you borrow a DVD and it's scratched on the very last scene,
how often does that happen?
I know, all the time.
It's
like someone out there just permanently just scratching out those last couple of moments.
50% of disc errors are caused by fingerprints. Don't leave the shop till you've checked the back of it.
Is that right?
If you get one, just take it out of the thing, check the back. If you can spot something, go, I'd like another copy, please.
Yeah. That's an
another copy of Dirty Dancing 15th Anniversary Edition. I'm Richard Marsden and I'm on the radio. Just say that.
But it's so frustrating because, and then your DVD player freezes up, you can't do anything unless you turn it off at the wall. And that's it.
Yeah, I know.
And that's when you have that thing, you know, that discussion you'd have this, Ed. Why can't we go back to VHS?
Absolutely right.
Yeah. VHS, when you could fast forward through the copyright warning if you didn't like it.
That's right.
The perfect system VHS was.
I'd like to do an acoustic version of that You Won't Steal a Car song. You know the song, the backup jingle?
Yeah. Wouldn't steal a car, that one. Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's hear a stripped down version.
Unplugged.
Let's get the listeners on board. Which DVD should we get behind and try and get it into the top 10 list for the year? Anything you want, 133353. REM, Orange Crush here at Get This. Around the Nation on Triple M, Jane Allsop is with us. We're canvassing the callers for DVDs we may have missed. Things you'd like to see in the top 10 list for the year, because it's looking pretty predictable so far. Who have we got, Ed?
G'day, Sam.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Excellent, mate. What needs to be up there?
Probably the Arelalo box set, or if you're going to split them up into different series, I want to see them at 1, 2 and 3.
Are there only 3 series of Arelalo, were there?
I think there were a couple more, but I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I've really seen is what's on the ads, to be honest.
Because I feel as though that my awareness of Alo started probably when I first sort of got language as a toddler and a three-year-old, and I feel as though it ran pretty much up until yesterday. Those episodes were long.
So are you
arduous?
20 seasons.
Sam, are you one of the people who responded to that ad? Have you started your Alo collection yet?
No, not yet. I'm still waiting for a couple more arguments on the pro side of Alo.
It's the yet that I love.
Keep waiting.
Thank you, Sam.
All right, who's next?
G'day, D.
G'day, how are you?
Good, mate. What needs to be up there?
Okay, it's the original Fantastic Four movie from 1990.
Yes. Oh, now, so this isn't the one from a couple of years ago.
No, this is one that Roger Corman.
Oh. Was it ever released?
No, it was actually bought by the president of Marvel back then and burnt.
Because it was so bad. Because there was also a Captain America, wasn't
there? Which is just as bad, but this is absolutely Mr. Fantastic's arms. You can actually see them statically stretch it so bad.
Because, you know, even in the $200 million one, the stretchy bloke still looks a bit dodgy.
So dodgy.
So in the Roger Corman version, how are they achieving that?
I can't even describe it. You've got to watch it, but then again, you can't watch it.
How did you get a hold of it, Dee?
From overseas, but it's like a fourth-generation copy, so it's that the
quality's not great.
Yes, but it's so foul, it is.
Dee, can I suggest that even a fourth-generation, shaky, blurry copy of the Fantastic Four movie from 1990 is better than a 15th anniversary edition of Dirty Dancing in perfect widescreen?
Well, I think if they bought it these days, it'd be against so many copyright rules because it's got everything in. Like the first thing Reed Richards is talking to a little Sue Storm.
Oh, yes.
And the next scene, he actually marries her.
So, wow. Cut to the chase.
Just fast-tracking.
Exactly. Okay, well, I'm sure that'll turn up on YouTube. Did you see the recent Fantastic Fours, Jane?
No.
I'm
devastated, I'm
Rise of the Silver Surfer and Rise of the Sleeping Audience.
Okay. The first one, the bit that gets me is, why does the Invisible Woman need to be invisible on that bridge? No one else needs to be invisible to get to the other end.
Got to get a gear off.
Someone's just come in at the final cut and gone, you got to get a gear off.
It's the only reason she's there. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you going, Ed?
Excellent, bro. What needs to be up there?
Well, you've worked in the video shop. Why is Withnell always on the back shelf?
Now this is Withnell and I, a somewhat obscure British comedy from the 80s. The reason it's always up the back, Mike, is it's only you and I that like to watch it.
No, this can't be true.
Really? No. Well, we had Will Arnett from Arrested Development on the show, and he said it's his favourite film of all time as well.
Absolutely.
Well, how can you beat the coffee shop scene?
No, I mean, yeah, that's great. We demand to have the finest wines imaginable. We demand them here and we demand them now.
All humanity. Well, I'm just objecting.
Absolutely right.
Just not getting the respect it deserves.
Mike, I'm absolutely with you 100%, my friend. And I used to make a point when I was working at the video store, I would take it from the back and I would put it up in the new releases next to all the copies of Kurt Russell and Steven Seagal in Executive Action and just see how it went.
Although, you know, I love Executive Action because doesn't Seagal get killed off like in the first 10 minutes.
He does.
In a really piss weak scene.
He really does. Chokes on a sandwich. Thank you, Mike.
Have you seen Withnell and I, Jane?
I actually haven't.
How can you not
I know, it's
that?
Wrong, isn't
Come
it?
Come on, Jane. It's one of those movies where every line is quotable.
You know it.
Wrong. You know, a lot of people I've given it to can't get past the opening scene because of the rats in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's like Short Bus. All right. Hello, David. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. How you going?
Excellent, man. What needs to be up there?
It's an Australian movie called Cozy Cool.
Oh, someone once sent me a bootleg of this. Is this a biker film?
It is. It's a fantastic movie.
Who's in it?
I have no idea.
Absolutely right.
Would you describe it as the poor man's Stone?
Quite possibly. It is acting, plot, sound quality that I've never seen before in a movie.
And would you call it an early precursor to the Fast and the Furious or...?
Oh, it's way beyond that movie.
Really?
Is this around the High Roland period of Australian film, The Last of the Knuckle Men, that kind of?
Yeah, it's late 70s, possibly early 80s.
It probably took me 2 years to find a copy of it, and now my friend won't give it back to me.
That's what happens.
What would be your favourite moment from Cozy Cool?
There's a scene with a crab, which comes into the movie a couple of times for absolutely no fathomable reason. And it's one of the funniest movies I've seen.
Well, I can see why you'd want to retrieve that from your buddy.
Hopefully.
Great selections. Don't go anywhere, callers. Hold on. Going to play a song. We'll be back for more of this in a moment. I'll get this. Thank you, Jet, with the Get This Orchestra here on Triple M. My arm is being tugged by a toddler right now.
During the song, you turned to Jane and said, is that walking? Yes. Yes, that's walking, Jane.
Jane Alsop
just like real people.
Is here with her son, Indiana, and we're canvassing DVD recommendations. Who's got one?
Hey, JB.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What needs to be up there?
I'm recommending Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Steve Martin and Rachel Ward, I think it was.
Now, for people who've never seen that movie, what happens?
It's a bit of an adventure, a bit of a love story, detective story, but it's made up of old black and white movies pieced together with live action from Steve Martin and a couple of other actors.
Yeah. It's sort of like a film noir feel, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And all done in the pre-computers era too.
Exactly.
Done
exactly.
The hard work.
Genius.
Yeah, and isn't Australia's Rachel Ward?
Yeah, JB said that.
I'm pretty sure it was her.
Yeah, possibly the best movie she was ever in.
Wow, big call.
I don't mean that as an insult.
You're forgetting Fortress.
Oh, I was so scared of Fortress.
Fortress, yeah.
They used to show us that at school. We used to have to watch Fortress.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. With Mr. Snuggly out the back with a shotgun taking kids into the caves.
Scary film.
Very scary
film. The masks.
Film. Yeah.
No good.
Okay.
All right. More DVDs, please.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
How you doing, team?
Good, thanks, mate. What needs to make the list?
The Family Guy movie.
Oh, this is the untold story of Stewie Griffin.
Yeah, that's it.
It's an excellent, I've seen it. It's very good. Describe it to Family Guy fans out there, Sam.
Oh, geez. It's just about a family. It's mainly about Stewie trying to look for his father because he thinks he's adopted.
Yeah, because he's so smart and his dad's
dumb. It's unsensitive. All the words come out.
Yes. Now, Jane, obviously the kiddies are into the cartoons, but do you ever accidentally go onto the Family Guy and...
Yes, I do. And, you know, I actually received an email last night which said, do you watch the Family Guy? And I scrolled down and there is a woman who looks exactly like the father. It's just... It is one of the... I'll email it to you.
Yeah.
It's one of the website. Most disturbing images I have ever seen.
To do real-life cartoon lookalike one day on this show. Table that for next week.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm excellent, bro. What needs to be up there?
Good Guys, Bad Guys.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
The show started to showcase the talents of Marcus Graham. Now, tell me, what are you a big Good Guys, Bad Guys fan?
Oh, well, you know, I used to watch it back in the 90s when I was out, and I've heard you guys give a shit a bit, Dender.
Hey.
I decided to go and buy it from Easy DVD the other day. It was $19, but it's renewed the love for it.
Oh,
so,
really?
Hang on. So we were heaping crap on it, and that serves as a recommendation to somebody.
I thought, why not go and see it?
Jane, were you ever in Good Guys, Bad Guys?
No, I wasn't in it, but I do recall it well. And as I think I mentioned last time I was in here, one of my good friends made an entire dating life out of pretending to be Marcus Graham.
Pretending to be Marcus Graham, only topped by Ed, who knows a bloke who does the same thing by pretending to be Galen.
Ooh,
from Big Brother.
Thanks, ouch. Josh. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Ed. How are you going?
Excellent, bro. What needs to be up there?
There was a movie in the mid-80s called Sir Les Patterson Saves the World.
That is a beauty. It is an absolute beauty, Michael. Now, explain to people who may not know it, what's it about?
To be honest, I've never been able to find it out on video and I can't remember too much of it, but I'm sure Les Patterson tries to save the world by... there was a virus on toilet seats or something
that's
like that.
Exactly right.
Yes, it was a film that...
Kangaroo popping in the street.
Yep.
It was unfortunately timed because it came out around the time that people were just starting to learn about AIDS.
Ah.
And it just cast a pall of gloom across the cinemas. I was actually at the premiere in Melbourne of Les Patterson Saves the World, and there was a scene that was so shocking, it was cut out that very night and not included in the prints that went out to cinemas the next day.
It's incredible.
And it was a scene where all I remember is a camel and explosive diarrhea. It didn't go down well at the premiere, and I think Barry Humphries went up to the projection booth and cut it out by hand.
Swallowed it.
From the prints.
Thank you, everyone.
Great selection. So many more callers we could have got to. Sorry we didn't get to everyone. More in a moment. I'll get this. Alanis Morissette winding up another round of Get This. Thank you, Jane Allsop, for sitting in for the whole hour.
Yes.
We are running a tad late today. I blame those fantastic callers with their long list of Sheffield Shield names from the past.
Tony, we are in debt to Nick on my MySpace, who's just sent me an eBay link that you can now get a signed piece of paper from 1986, Jane, signed by Tim Zura. It's going for $2.99. That's a bargain.
Double that if you're buying it from an op shop.
Absolutely right.
And thank you also to Michael M, who sent us a wonderful email, which is where we got all those stats about top-selling DVDs.
Thanks,
and VHSs. Anything to plug, Jane? The King, surely. That's going to be going round still.
Taking a bit of a visit to Erinsborough as well.
Oh, wow. Anything you can give away there?
Who are you bumping off?
Oh, I'm a bit of a lawyer.
Really? Do you pash on with Toadie?
Do you push a one-legged man off a cliff?
I might.
That's my favourite scene. Thanks to everyone who contributed today. Our key phrase comes courtesy of Peter.
I got on the piss once with Scott Hook. He was a bit of a dickhead. Allegedly.
We'll be back tomorrow with Rob Sitch.
Oh, yes.
Meaning that, thank God, you're here is back on your screens tomorrow, and it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power.